What knowledge should you have to be a pilot? Or can anyone be it? Just take a course and off you go? Or what kind of preparations do you need? And if there is a program, is it difficult or not? Or in a nutshell, can anyone be a pilot?
In addition to having good health, passing the physical, you need to have a sense of direction. You must have spatial comprehension skills. I mean volume, not outer space only. Pretty advanced math skills. Understanding both stellar maps of distances and stellar maps by frequencies. Have mechanical and engineering skills. Have studies and training in the field of astrophysics. Have a high ethical value, high enough to have to break your own ethics if necessary. Understanding of xenolinguistics and politics between different races. Have advanced knowledge of both planetary and spatial history and other races, and know how they have related to each other before. Have high knowledge in electricity and electronics. Have strong mind and spirit, necessary to endure or work under great pressure with everything working against you. Knowing that as a fighter pilot, you work mostly alone or in small numbers, which means that with any damage to the ship, we should be able to repair it ourselves without help. Knowledge of duplication of pieces, and accept the responsibility to represent, mostly alone, your entire society. Knowing that the image of your species or race depends on you and only you. Have the inner strength to trust that your decisions are appropriate when everything depends on you and only you. Being able to work alone for long periods of time in small vessels. Know how to survive on planets far away from yours. Accept the strong risk and most likely that you'll never come home.
Wow, what a reply, thank you. Another one would be the following. Have you fought body to body with a reptilian? Have you had to go into a battle sometime? This question is to estimate your strength.
I have fought ship to ship countless times.
Which is your favorite ship?
The two Susie class ships complement each other equally. They are small, but not too much. They have all the power that anyone would want, are fast and agile, and the lines are especially beautiful. Cutting edge technology, not yet surpassed by our best engineers. They are reliable, very resistant, and their AI is also state of the art. And they are heavily armed, in addition to being low maintenance or self-maintenance.
Okay. What is your opinion on the Star Wars? Does it hold up to reality?
The context of Star Wars is extremely basic, with extremely basic plots that are boring. However, they represent the Orion Wars, which are still being fought. The invasion of an absolute monarchy, the Draco Reptiles, that impose their empire and their law against other races that in themselves are weaker physically, but have survived based on developed intellect. The context of ships entering and leaving planets constantly, of characters going up to their private ships to travel and do their things on another planet is totally real. The context of a galactic economy is false, but you can see there the use or concept of the Force with its positive and dark sides. That is true. The concept of rebels, alliances between planets to confront the invaders, the Jedis, the Jedi is the correct and existing term, as experts in multiple things in every way possible, working mostly alone, at a great personal risk, only based on concepts of ethics and with the confidence that they will know what is right at all times, and in many cases sacrificing their future and their lives. This is completely true, and is testimony that Lucas knows much more about what's going on than what is apparent.
In fiction, there is reality. Another question from our subscribers. What is seen from inside the ship looking out when it goes from subluminar speed, lower than light speed, to supraluminar speed, faster than light speed? That is, how is the passage of the jump to the ether to reach the travel destination?
You feel a momentary blow of the engines to the fullest, followed by a feeling of great acceleration. This can be turned off by setting the inertia cancellers to the maximum. Outside, you can see for a moment, and only for a moment, as the light of all the stars suddenly move backwards, followed by total blackness outside the ship. During the faster-than-light travel, you can occasionally see bright flashes that move backwards at high speed. When decreasing from the light speed, you hear the motors decrease in revolutions per minute. And if the inertia cancellers are not at maximum, a sudden deceleration can be felt, followed by the appearance of light flashes moving backwards, and in the places corresponding to each flash, the stars appear again, as they are normally known. This is followed by the AI announcement of the ship's position within the vector frequency map and the velocity. Finally, information about the proximity of other ships in the area is given. Something to clarify. The flashes of light that are seen passing backwards from a ship when going faster than light are not stars or nothing external fairy. The ship has nothing to do with the exterior or space. They are electrostatic charges between the hull and the high energy toroid. Stars only look like lines backwards for a very brief moment during acceleration or during deceleration.
Wow. Yes, I remember this description from Svaru. Next question. Why do UFOs crash or fall? There are cases of UFOs defeated by airplanes. But how can that happen despite superior technology?
Depending on the technology of each ship, because they are not UFOs, they are ships. They are already identified on Earth as spaceships. The shoot-downs, because they are more than isolated failures or crashes, occur because they are shot with scalar energy weapons. This is energy of variable frequencies in the form of a shotgun of frequencies. This blinds the ship's sensors that tell the computer what gravitational flow frequency is outside the ship. Without the corresponding precise data, the computer cannot make the necessary calculations for the motors so that they can cancel the gravity, resulting in a loss of support and a crash against the surface. A Taygetan ship has not only anti-gravity engines, but also engines with plasma jet that alone can keep a ship in flight, even if its gravitational sensors have been blinded. This renders being shot down impossible. Here I speak of large interstellar ships, fighters and higher, not the small discoidal ones that work exclusively with gravitational engines. They are shot down because the negatives know enough about their operation to be able to blind the sensors that are the key to knock down ships of most species using that kind of technology.
Incredible. Thank you. I get it. What kind of protection mechanisms for external attacks do the ships have?
The same energy toroid that surrounds the ship serves as a shield and usually the large plasma jet engines. It is in itself high energy that is a hard shell of high voltage electromagnetic frequencies that repels everything. Everything is energy and everything is frequencies. If there is a concentration of energy that surrounds a ship of a sufficiently high frequency, the other energies below it will not be able to enter the shield. They also have sonic weapons that creates a large explosion of compressed sound on the perimeter of a ship parked on the surface or in atmospheric flight, destroying everything in a radius from a few meters to some 2 or 3 kilometers around. They also have a very advanced system that reverses the arrival vector, which is the direction of arrival of any type of threat or something with mass being fired like a bullet or a missile or something of energy like plasma or energy weapons towards whatever that sent it.
Thank you. The following question is similar to an earlier one. Your ship is of the Suzy class. What are its shape and dimensions?
My ship is the third of the Suzy class that is constructed. It measures exactly the same as the initial Suzy, which belongs to Svaru. The hull is 90 meters plus 3 meters of plasma cannons, 4 in the nose. It is 30 meters wide, wingtip to wingtip. It has the same electric blue color with black details. The emblem is the same, Angel Suzy. However, my ship is wider in the nose, looking a little heavier in front. The vertical stabilizers in the back are more prominent than in Svaru's Suzy. Few differences. Both have the ability to engage in flight to form a single ship using the ventral hatch. Svaru's ship produces 5 trillion electron volt power, TeV, and mine only 3 trillion electron volts, which is the factory output power, since Svaru has modified her ship for greater power. 2 zero-point energy reactors. 2 plasma engines.
Okay, the next question we already know the answer to, but the audience does not. Can you pilot it alone?
What kind of question is this? Being a fighter ship, she can fly on her own with her pilot or can even fly alone.
Okay, I understand. Next, have you had incidents with military or civil pilots? Have they seen you?
Countless sightings with pilots and civil and military aircraft. NORAD already knows me, as they do many here. Countless times they try to catch up with me. I just speed up, and that's it. Problem gone. Nothing worth describing.
Interesting. Next question. From the ship, can you see the entrances of the dumps, deep underground military bases?
Not directly. They hide them well. It is easier to see them from the surface, but we know where they are because our sensors can see under the surface even to great depths. More than anything using magnetic maps.
Okay. Do you interact with the Black Knights?
Not much. We only greet them. I identify myself when this happens. They talk among themselves to inform that a Taygetan fighter in atmospheric flight is in progress. But the relation is of a cordial cooperation.
Okay, if your ship is detected in the atmosphere, how do you defend yourself?
Multiple options. What I use the most is simply to go into faster than light flight mode, but static, static warp. I then simply am not in the same reality as my attackers, but I have absolutely not moved and can continue with whatever there is to do. Or I can accelerate faster than they are able to. Or I can play with them, jumping right behind the human fighters to see how they twist with their evasive maneuvers.
Wow, and can you make your ship partially invisible? For example, can you make the upper half of the ship invisible and see the outer space?
From inside the ship? The cabin has this capability, but only the bridge area. At the back, only through the side windows.
To achieve the ship's invisibility, do you alter the frequency of the ship or the material that forms it?
Yes, the frequency of the ship's matter is altered in relation to the external that surrounds it. This happens in warp flight, or simply with the shields that are also what causes that which wraps the ship for flight beyond light speed. Or we simply make the light curve around the hull using special frequencies in the same shields. It is the easiest way.
Thank you. How do we identify if we see the ship or plane?
I don't understand the question.
How can we identify if it is a ship or a plane in which you travel, Khalil?
I never travel in a plane. It is always my ship. I only use human electronic boards to make my ship appear as a private plane in order to be left alone. We have onboard complete equipment authorized by the Civil Aviation FAA or the Military Aviation IFF at our convenience. From the ground, it is not possible to distinguish if it is an ET ship or an airplane, unless the form of the hull can be seen, since both use white and red strobes. Human aircraft usually have a green or blue light strobe on the tip of the right wing and a red one on the left. Non-human ships don't usually observe this or don't use it, as a rule.
So, when we are out at night, your ship could pass for a plane?
Yes.
If you have cloaking technology on your ships, should I understand that our radars are already so powerful that your invisibility is no longer useful? I mean, the need you have to talk to the sky controllers. If the ship is not seen on the radars, it is not necessary to speak with the controllers.
It is not like that. Your radars cannot see our ships, and we can be completely invisible. The reason I impersonate a plane and even talking to the air traffic controllers is because I can have the ship in normal flight mode, slowly, and in being so, I can connect to the internet using the signal provided for civil aircraft. I ask for a flight plan. I state the type of plane I have, a Bombardier Challenger 350, and they assign me a flight corridor, vector height, and speed and vector change points. Then, with my ship, I fly at the exact speed and in the corridor assigned by the air traffic controllers, and then on their radars I appear as a specific plane. My ship can program the exact radar signal or return radar signal equivalent to a Bombardier Challenger 350 aircraft. That way, both the civilian and military leave me alone. In stealth flight mode, or flight as an unidentified flying object, I could not connect to the internet and would have had fighter planes behind me shortly after, as has happened recently.
I understand. A question that someone has also asked. Is it safe for you to reveal the process, even saying what plane you are flying, to the public? Now they will know what to look for. Bombardier Challenger 350.
Yes, I've thought about it. What happens is that the skepticism is such that they would not find me even in sharing this. However, I am not sharing the exact registration of the plane I use. I can only say that it starts with the letter G. It is registered in Great Britain, and I am omitting the exact, more delicate process, which must remain secret, of how I make the tower see me as taking off from somewhere and landing somewhere else as they would expect.
Okay. It is just that we don't want problems for you.
I have chosen this type of aircraft, the Bombardier Challenger 350, because its radar return signal is similar to that of a Susie-class ship. Even so, I modified it electronically until it became the same. This is done with systems called ECM, or electronic countermeasures, using human pilot and flight terminology. Also, my supposed aircraft, the Bombardier Challenger 350, is equipped with all its registration, owner, service history, serial number of the manufacturer Bombardier, a valid FAA, a Federal Aviation Agency, licenses, automatic black box, instrument flight systems attached to the human control towers, and military IFF, identification friend or foe systems. All in full detail, even the amount of gallons of gas the aircraft has in its tank. It also comes with telemetry to the human tower, so they can see my human flight instruments, such as flight speed, compass vector, altitude, radar data from the plane and everything needed in full detail. Turning my Susie-class ship virtually the same as or indistinguishable from a Bombardier Challenger 350, unless it is directly visible to the naked eye. But even then, we have more tricks. These ships, as happens with the moon, can put on a high-definition hologram around the hull, making it look like an airplane to the naked eye. This is normal for ships and is done all the time. The fact that you see a plane is no guarantee that it is. We can impersonate everything. A couple of years ago there was a video on YouTube, Aneka told me, in which you could see an A320 plane stopped in the air completely and then disappear as a UFO.
Is that to say that somehow you can impersonate any plane that exists, but it doesn't really exist? Wow. With registration and an owner that doesn't really exist?
My Bombardier Challenger 350 doesn't exist. This is my camouflage.
Okay. Is it the same with all the documentation?
Yes, the license plate, owner and everything else do not exist. It is a ghost. Documented and even with telemetry simulated in detail. Even for instrument approximation, absolute detail. Sometimes the tower will ask a plane the telemetry to have you tell them what the radar sees, especially about the weather, to complement the data they need for other planes. I give them that data from my radar without any problem. The tower, if they wish to, can see the amount of RPM of the air gas pumps and the fuel consumption rate of my jet engines. Of course, it is Susie's computer who is simulating everything perfectly.
I get it. Thank you. We turn to the next question. How do we distinguish the positive from the negative ship?
Leaving technology aside, if they bestow a feeling of fear to those who see them, they are negative. If they attract and cause wonder and well-being, euphoria for having seen it, they are positive. And nobody uses TR-3B or TR-4. If you see them, it's from the cabal. By the shape, it would be difficult. Triangular shapes are generally negative, but Diesel and Tiplex have triangle ships. Cylindrical ships are usually reptilians, but not only. Discoidal ships can be anyone.
asks Gosha. But fear can come from your own psyche, no? Fear of the unknown, for example. Robert and his friend have seen a ship, and she was afraid and he wasn't.
Yes, it is from your own psyche. If Robert was not afraid, the ship was positive for him, but not for her, as she was surely submerged in the Matrix. In her case, or from her point of view, the positive ships are annoying and invasive because she is Matrix.
What are your usual missions as a Federation pilot?
Federation fighter pilot. The same missions as those of a human fighter pilot. But in comparison to the human missions of only a few hours of duration, those of a Taigetan fighter pilot can last and usually last a lifetime. With sub-missions, of course.
Why do ships stop over common houses?
There must be something interesting inside. A starseed. An objective. Many reasons.
Okay, last question. Are the ships biological, telepathic, or with metallic commands? Does your ship require reloading on a mothership in the vicinity?
There are biological ships. They exist. My race doesn't like them. They are like 6D densities usually. The one who knows in detail about how and who used these biological ships is Svaru. They are uncommon. The ship itself does not require recharging or reloading of anything from a mothership. Or a few times, but it is not energy. More than anything, they are supplies or isolated spare parts. We have a parts replicator on board.
Thank you, Dor Kalel. I think we will finish for today. I learned a lot and I'm very grateful.
We finish? I hope it was okay. And I thank you also. Until the next time.